Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning. I was also going to say, I think Theo could be joining the preaching team too, as well. Yeah, I'm Jen. I'm part of the preaching team, and I've been around BCV for many years. It's good to see you. And hello if you're online as well. Let's pray to start, actually. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And we just say, come, increase your presence. Would you move among us? Would you continue to move among us as we listen to your word? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. And may your word find a place in our hearts today, and would it bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in prepping for today, I was reading a blog, I think it was, and it gave me a wee idea, because there's a key word in the psalm that we're going to look at, or the song. And that was just to simply pop into any social media platform, the wee tagline, hashtag blessed, and see what popped up. Now, if you know me, you know I'm not on any social media. But one I did sign up to was Twitter, like ages ago, which is now X. For like my job reasons for teaching, which is what I do, and to get ideas for that. So I popped it in there. So this is what popped up under hashtag blessed. There are things that I couldn't mention in church, but here are some that are. Being in front near the stage at a concert, hashtag blessed. Being sober for over 1,000 days. Being able to look and admire someone else's nice legs. Getting through airport security quickly. There was a photo of a cat, of course. What the person looks like, as in just look at me, hashtag blessed. Being in the mountains, having good curly hair, blue skies, a tight core, and I could go on. Okay, I think there was one mention of God about in some competing about in a baseball match. That was it. But really, what is it to be blessed truly, like according to the Bible? Well, the song, the psalm that we're going to look at today, Psalm 84, answers that question. It's a word that's used mostly in the Psalms, but also in other parts of the Bible. For example, you'll know Jesus' Beatitudes, like blessed are the. Anyway, the word blessed in the biblical sense is way better than any meaning the world has given this word. So let's see it from God's perspective. We're going to read the Psalm first, Psalm 84, if you want to turn in your Bibles or on your phone. You may want to read along, but you may also want to just close your eyes, actually, and listen. And open up your hands as a sign that you're ready to receive whatever the Lord is going to say to you through his word this morning, because it's living and active. And just listen for what jumps out at you. Maybe a word, maybe a phrase, maybe a particular verse, but don't overthink. Just be and listen and read along if you like. So it's going to be up on the slides there. Let's just read it. Psalm 84. For the director of music, according to Gittith, of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. So I wonder what stood out. So just hold that and let it linger. And I'm going to read through the psalm all the way through at the end as well, just to give the Lord space to speak without me. So you'll notice that the psalm is divided up into three, if you were reading along there. And to indicate the sections, you'll see that little word, Selah. It's a term that most likely indicated like a pause in the music, a pause to praise and a pause to ponder and respond to the truths that you've just heard. So we're going to do that too. Just a wee moment's pause after I finish speaking about each section to let it kind of sink in. And each section also has a blessed are those or blessed is the one, which will help us then paint a true picture of what the word blessed actually means. First though, a wee side note. In the small print at the top of the psalm, if you look underneath the title, Psalm 84, you'll see that this is one that's not written by David, but it's written by the sons of Korah. Now, sons can mean descendants as well, because Korah was a full cousin of Moses and Aaron, so he'll not have been around at this time. You can read properly about him later. You'll find the main story about him in Numbers 16. Korah and his descendants were of the Levites, and some of them took part in the singing in the temple, for example, after David's time. However, Korah did not cover himself in glory. He, at the time, so he was about in Moses and Aaron's time, he led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, along with two other key men, and then 250 other men from their community. Basically, they were saying, who made you leaders? Like, you've gone too far. Who says that you're to be the leaders? So Moses challenged them to bring the matter before the Lord, which they did, and the Lord showed very clearly who he had chosen to lead, which was Moses and Aaron. The earth swallowed up the two other main leaders and their families and their tents, and fire went out from the presence of the Lord and consumed Korah and the 250 men. So it's pretty dramatic. But Korah's sons or children were spared, and 11 psalms are attributed to them, and Psalm 84 is one of them. So that's just a wee background. So let's look at the first declaration. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. That's verse 4. So the psalmist seems to be far from the temple in Jerusalem, which is the place where God's presence dwelt in Old Testament times. That's what he means by your house. He'll have been there, though, because Jews and Jewish males in particular went up to the temple three times a year at least for the major feasts. So he'll have been there. He will have known it. And you can tell from these verses that the psalmist is longing to be there. He treasures the place where God dwells. The word there that we have as lovely, how lovely is your dwelling place, it is more accurately translated as beloved. How beloved is your dwelling place? And lovely, or sorry, if someone or something is beloved, it's actually more than just lovely, isn't it? It's if someone or something is beloved to you, they're loved, they're treasured, they're known, they're delighted in. And look at the words he uses for his longing. He says, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This is intense desire, isn't it? The word yearns in that verse 2 can also be translated as to be greedy for or eager. He is greedy for the Lord's presence. He's greedy for time in the temple, in the presence of the Lord Almighty, the living God, as he names him just even in these two verses. He's an intense desire to be where God meets with his people, which was the temple in those days. But look, it's not just the place, the courts of the Lord or the house of the Lord. It's the person he's eager to meet, and that's none less than the living God at the end of verse 2. His whole being is longing to be in the presence of the living God. And even in verse 3, you can see there, the psalmist is even a little envious of the birds who can make their nests and find a home in the temple area near the altar. So this house or this dwelling place belonged to the Lord. If you've been following along in your Bible, you see the Lord is in capital letters there. That's the word for Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant name for God, the relationship name for God that he gave his people who he called his own. He calls God the Lord Almighty. That word Almighty, in some translations you'll see it, it can be translated as the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord of angel armies. He calls God, and my king and my God, sorry, in that order, in verse 3. There's a personal relationship there as well. I can call God and my king. Can you? Just on a wee side note, like in September, we're, not me personally, but others are running an Alpha course here in church, which is a super opportunity to explore what it would mean to call God and your king. So listen out for that. He also calls God the living God. There is no other God on this earth that people name as a God who can be called that. And on thinking all of this, his conclusion is that those who dwell in God's house, that will be the priests and the Levites that time who would have lived there, they are blessed to do so, living in the presence of the Lord Almighty, the living and almighty God and King who has angel armies at his bidding, the Almighty One. And with such truths, the psalmist's other conclusion as part of that is that the one who dwells there is blessed, and because of that, they're always like in an attitude of praise. So what does blessed mean in the Bible, okay, like in the biblical term? So it could be translated as, and in some, depending on what translation you might be reading along with, it also could be translated as happy is, although that kind of waters it down a bit for what we maybe think happy means, or what joy for, or it could also be translated as how to be envied are those who dwell in your house. According to BibleHub.com, the word used in the Hebrew describes the God-given condition of blessedness enjoyed by those who walk in covenant faithfulness. It is not a fleeting emotion, but a settled state of well-being grounded in the character and promises of the Lord. You can see how it's a much deeper and fuller and richer word than it's maybe been watered down to become, can't you? This psalmist is clearly like thirsting and longing for God's presence. Do we long to be in the presence of the almighty living God like the psalmist? Or do we take it for granted? Because it's kind of easy for us just to come here, for example, or to go to him in our homes. Of course now, unlike the psalmist, because of Jesus shedding his blood and dying, which all the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to, he took the punishment for our sin, and we now have direct access to the presence of the living Almighty God wherever we are and whenever we want, at any time. Indeed, we who believe in and follow Jesus are the temple today, a place where the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, dwells by his Spirit. You can see that, for example, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Which says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Or 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, which says similar, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If we have put our trust in Jesus as the way to God, then you are, I am, the temple of the Almighty Living God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, where I can communicate with him at any moment and in every moment. I wonder, do we really realize like the enormity, the honor, and the privilege of that? Like we collectively then are also the temple of God. Do we long to come together as his temple, the church? Or do we take that for granted too? We host the presence of the Almighty Living God here when we join together as a whole church and also as individuals all the time. That would have blown the psalmist's mind, I reckon. He could have only dreamt of that. Hebrews 10:19-25 kind of sums it up well, I think, of what our access to the Lord's presence is. And I'm putting it in the Message version just because it's a wee bit, the words are a wee bit easier to understand. I'll just read it out. So it says, so friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it. full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Selah. Let's just pause a wee minute. Let that settle. The second declaration, then, of who is blessed comes in verse 5 immediately after. And it says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage." So the psalmist probably lived a distance from Jerusalem, for he's now thinking about the journey that he would take to get up there, and he's kind of using that as a picture. It could have been a long and tiring journey, but he declares, just even at face value, that those who have God as their strength, where their highways, the pilgrimages of their heart, are pointed toward God, that they are blessed because they don't rely on their own strength. They have their hearts set on pilgrimage. That word can mean highways. They have their hearts set on going the highways that lead them to the Lord. Here, this is about the pilgrimage or journey to Jerusalem, as I was saying, from the surrounding country. You'll notice there in verse 6, it talks about the Valley of Baca. It's actually apparently not known to be an actual place. But when I was preparing, I found out that the word Baca also sounds like the verb for weeping. So the Valley of Weeping. In fact, in some translations, that would be what is written. That suggests a really hard part of the journey, doesn't it? But the pilgrims going through it turn the weeping to blessings. They make it a place of springs. They bring blessing as they pass through. It talks about the autumn rains, which would have been really welcome at that time in Israel after the long, dry summer. The rains then created pools along the roads, which may have then refreshed the pilgrims. Or what they could have done is like been diverted into channels to help the crops grow for the new agricultural season and the promise of blessings to come. And rather than the journey tiring the pilgrims out, it says they go from strength to strength. They get stronger as they come closer to Zion or Jerusalem to meet God. It's like they're buoyed up by who and what lies ahead. And those verses are a real picture of the people of God today for you and me who follow Jesus. We, the church today, are pilgrims on this earth. This is not our final destination. We're pilgrims as we journey to be with God, either when Jesus returns or when we go to meet him in death. I wonder, like the psalmist, do we have our eyes set on the prize? Like for the psalmist, his mind was set on getting to Zion, Jerusalem, and that place where God dwells. For us, it's being in the presence of God, the living Almighty God, in a new heaven and a new earth because of Jesus making the way for us. And yet, God's kingdom is also now. So we don't need to wait to experience and dwell in his presence. Then we can do it right now because of Jesus. You can see how the pilgrims' destination affected their now, their journey to Jerusalem. They turn the dry and weeping valley, as it's called, into a place of springs. We too pass through valleys of weeping, don't we? In fact, maybe you're in one right now, or maybe you know someone who is. These valleys of weeping can be ours, or we are accompanying others through theirs. But do notice, it says that we pass through. They pass through the valley of Baca. They don't last forever. Although, of course, we know that they can last a long time. But notice how the pilgrims transform the valleys of weeping that they pass through. It says they make it a place of springs. And I guess we, through this life, go and are not meant, we're not meant to do it in our own strength either. We're meant to do it in God's strength. We have the life-giving water, the life-giving springs of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and he pours his strength and enabling into us. We host the presence of the Almighty Living God by his Holy Spirit, who causes all things, including our valleys of weeping, to work together for good to those who love him, to have been called, who have been called according to his purpose, as per Romans 8 and 28. The Lord uses and transforms by our presence and his presence within us the hard and arid places that we sometimes have to pass through in this life. And because then our strength is actually his strength, we can in fact leave behind a blessing. While I was praying this, one commentator I read suggested that because there were long, dry roads that led up to Jerusalem, the pilgrims would have dug little pits, which then would have collected any rainwater that fell, and then they used that to refresh themselves. But the little pits would have kept collecting rainwater, which then would have refreshed the others who came behind them. And I think that's such a beautiful picture. Every time we go into the presence of the Lord to find strength in him through prayer and his word, through coming together with his people, we are refreshed. And then from there, we can pour out and leave a refreshment for others. But the key is always to keep close to the Almighty Living God. And then when we go through a valley of weeping, we can provide refreshment for those going through similar, can't we? Because we often then know what it's like and can encourage them. Verse 7 says that the pilgrims from going up into Jerusalem, they go from strength to strength, but actually that's not the norm for a journey. It's usually strength to weakness, isn't it? So especially if you're walking. So I used to climb a lot more mountains than I do now. And if you've ever climbed a mountain, you'll know that in the morning you start out fresh as a daisy. You're eager and you're ready and you're like, we've got this. But by the time you're descending, you can feel it in your legs. You're going a bit slower. You're looking forward to a shower and a cup of tea and something nice to eat. But in this picture that's like of the pilgrims and of us here on earth, it's not so. Whenever we look to Jesus, the Almighty God and the Living God, there's a couple of places in 2 Corinthians which speak to us today for those of us who are followers of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 talks about that we go from glory to glory, like there's an increasing rather than a declining. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 says this. I think it's up there, yeah. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We're going from strength to strength. For our light and momentary troubles, our valleys of weeping, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we're being renewed day by day. Even though we've troubles, we're being renewed on the inside by God's Spirit working within us because we keep our eyes fixed on the one who is not seen yet, but the one who one day we will see face to face. The psalmist's song here is also a prayer if you look at verse 8. In verse 8 he calls God again, O Lord God Almighty, and he also calls him the God of Jacob. He remembers that he's speaking to God. He is a mighty warrior, a strong and protecting God who has a host of angel armies at his bidding. But he's also the personal God who has relationship with and keeps his promises to his people like Jacob of old. Selah. So the third section kind of goes back to the topic of the first, I think, being in the temple and the courts of the Lord. The psalmist's third declaration of who is blessed comes at the end of the section and at the end of the psalm. And he says, O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. It's his rounding off statement for that wee section, but also for the whole psalm. And it's clearly what he wants to leave us with. It's the last thing he says. I'm presuming it's a he. It might have been a she, actually. He makes a bold statement there in verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. You think of any elsewhere? He's like saying, better is one day in your courts. He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I mean, those are quite the statements. I wonder, can you and I say that? Like, do we joy to be in God's presence in our own times with him? And also with his people rather than anywhere else. Is here, for example, we've gathered together this morning, is this the better for you? If we're all honest, we probably don't say that all the time. Maybe sometimes, and maybe we wouldn't say it at all. For all sorts of reasons, it can be hard to come together as his temple, the church. Sometimes it's just out of discipline that we come because it's the right thing to do. Remember what I was saying from Hebrews, or what I quoted from Hebrews earlier about not avoiding worshipping together as some do. I would say, though, that actually Laura alluded to it as well in her announcement, our invitation, that the more and longer you walk with the Lord, the more you grow to love his church. We are his temple, all of us together, not just me on my own. And when we come together as his temple on the earth, like here on a Sunday morning or in a life group, he joys in it. Because, yes, we're not here to seek each other, although community and friendship is a byproduct of that. But we come to seek the living God. And when we come together, Jesus promised that even whenever it's just two or three of us, he's right here in the midst. There's something of the presence of God that we can only experience when we come together as his people, that we will not get if we just choose to do it on our own, because it's a taste of heaven, because it's the way it's going to be, a taste of God's kingdom coming in full. And I want you to also notice in the previous section, just hopping back there a wee bit, if you have your Bible open, in verses 5 to 8-ish, notice how the person of the verb used, I'm a linguist, I notice these things, is they, okay? They. Walking this life with God is not an individual sport. Yes, we need time alone with God, absolutely, and rhythms with him, for sure. Like, that's a non-negotiable. But it's as we join together with others that we also get the strength and refreshment and help to walk through our valleys of weeping or our valleys of rejoicing and leave blessings in our wake. We get to be encouraged and encourage others. Look how it says they all the time. Those whose strength are in you, they pass through the valleys. They make it a place of strings. They are not strings, springs. They go from strength to strength. And I can tell you with 100% certainty that I would not be the person I am today or have walked into the freedom and healing that I walk in Christ today if I had not chosen to press into the they. By being here as a non-negotiable on a Sunday morning, obviously, if you're sick, you're sick, that type of thing, by choosing to commit to a life group. For it's in these places that the Lord has been pleased to minister to me and brought me to a place of healing as he has used his giftings in others to help me. And hopefully I have been able to be a blessing to others as well. And why can the psalmist say that being in the courts of the Lord is the better? Well, look at verse 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." The verse starts with "for," as in because. So it's because of the Lord, because the Lord God is a sun and shield. It's the Lord God, it's the person who's there, who he is, and what he does. It's the Lord Almighty, the living God, the one true God, who is the one who is like a sun and shield for us. The sun gives light and life, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I definitely need his light to shine in my path, to guide me in the best pathway for life. I need his protection, physically and spiritually, every day. And it's from the Lord alone that all good things come. When we are his followers, when he is our king, when we can say he's my God and my king, we have his favor and his blessing bestowed upon us. Isn't that amazing? Like, and he gives us honor. How? Well, even just one of the ways is when we follow the Almighty Living God, and he is our king and he is our God, he calls us his children. And all that goes along with being a child of the Father of Fathers, the one who has eternal love for us. And he doesn't withhold. In fact, the word that says he no good thing does he withhold, that can be translated, he cannot withhold. He cannot withhold any good thing from us. And that's what we were remembering earlier. The best good thing that he has for us is Jesus, and he didn't hold him back. And that word good in the Hebrew is the same word that God used to describe all that was good after he made it in Genesis 1. You know, when he said it was very good, it's that word good. And it's also the word good to describe God is good, for example, in Psalm 100. So it elevates the meaning of good, I think, for us, doesn't it? It's what's really good for us. It's bigger than what I have in my mind for what might be good sometimes, like having enough money or health or a spouse or whatever it might be. You insert the blanks there. And yes, the Lord does provide us with material good and people too. And they are blessings and they are gifts for sure. But this is also on a higher level of the meaning of good. The good things that have come to us because of Jesus that are nothing actually to do with things or our circumstances. Forgiveness, salvation, hope, joy, peace, authority, faith, grace, mercy, help, a companion, a brother, a friend, and many more besides. But note that it says, he withholds no good thing from those whose walk is blameless. So, if I take it as it is, that's me counted out. And no offense, but you're counted out too. If it weren't for Jesus. Because God looks on him, the actual anointed one alluded to in verse 9, and he sees that he is blameless. And the Lord puts all our blame and all our sin on Jesus through his death and resurrection, cancels it out, and he gives us Jesus' blamelessness or his righteousness in its place. Meaning that we who say to God, you are my God and my King, we can declare this verse with confidence. God looks on us who are his, and he actually doesn't see our blame and sin or brokenness anymore. He sees the perfection and the blamelessness of Jesus. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, it says, God made him who had no sin for us. Oh, sorry, to be sin for us. So God takes the sin, and then we become the righteousness of God. That is the ultimate swap. And unlike the many, many animal sacrifices that would have been made in the psalmist's time for sin and the feelings of the people, Jesus died once for all and completed all the sacrifice that is ever needed so that we can live now and forever in the presence of the Almighty Living God. And because of this, the psalmist ends where he started with declaring that God is the Lord Almighty and blessed is the one who trusts in him. Remember the definition that I had read out earlier about what blessed is? Let me just allude to that again. It's the God-given condition of blessedness enjoyed by those who walk in covenant faithfulness. It is not a fleeting emotion, but a settled state of well-being grounded in the character and promises of the Lord. I want that blessed. That is who is blessed, the one who trusts in him. And the verb to trust in the original language, apparently, means to put your full weight upon someone or something with calm assurance. Okay, to put your full weight upon someone or something with calm assurance. So at the moment, each of you are putting your full weight on the chair with calm assurance, hopefully. So if you take that tiny picture and transfer it to the Lord, the Lord Almighty, really, he is the one who you can put the full weight of your life, your marriage, your singleness, your future, your job, your health, your family, your whatever. You fill in the blank, it'll apply. He, and only he, is able to carry the full weight of your whole life. And he can, and he will, and he wants to. And finally, just notice that the three declarations we've looked at, so there they all are again. And just take a wee minute and read through them. So blessed are those who dwell in your house, blessed are those whose strength is in you, and blessed is the one who trusts in you. They actually have nothing to do with status. They have nothing to do with whether we're rich or poor. They have nothing to do with what country or city we live in or are from. They have nothing to do with what job we have. They're nothing to do with whether we feel we have good looks or not, like my hashtag bless earlier. They're nothing to do with whether we can afford to go on a holiday or not. These are irrelevant and totally aside from circumstances. Outward circumstances are irrelevant, and that is really good news because they are for the those who or the one who. So that means anyone. That's you and that's me. If we choose to follow the Almighty Living God and have him as our God and King, I have, and I don't regret a single day of it. And I really want you to know him as your God and King too. So do you want to, if you don't already? We would love to introduce you to him this morning if you don't know him as your God and King. Let me just read through the psalm one more time as we come to a close. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts in pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he or can he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. So we're just going to go in to just prepare for ministry time. Can I invite you to stand if you're able to or want to? And we're just going to wait a wee minute and let things sink in. And I'll maybe pull out a few things to invite you to come up for prayer for, perhaps. So come, Holy Spirit, would you come and bless your word to our hearts? Would you cause it to take root and bear fruit? Come, Holy Spirit. Just want to come for prayer for actually what lingered and what verse or word or phrase maybe stood out for you. Like, pay attention to that, because that'll be the Holy Spirit maybe wanting to use that to minister in your life. So you'd be really welcome to come up for prayer for that. I talked about valleys of weeping, and maybe you're going through one right now, or you're supporting someone else who is. Please come and get prayer for that. Have someone else stand with you and pray with you. Says, blessed is the one who dwells in your house, who dwells in the Lord's presence. And maybe you want to, but you're not really sure how to go about that. So, like, you can come for prayer about that and ask for the Lord's help. But I just want to also say, come August, September time, there will be life groups and a Following Jesus course again, which will be really helpful in that. So, kind of keep that for future reference too. And perhaps you're sick of all the gods with a small g that promise blessings that either you can't attain to or have been a disappointment. And you want to say yes to this God, this living Lord Almighty. You want to say yes to him being your God and your King today. Please come and get people to pray with you, and we'd love to lead you in that. Dylan's going to pray or play just quietly here. Can I invite the ministry team to come up, please, so with plenty of people to pray. There may, of course, be things you want prayer for that I haven't mentioned. Please come and get prayer for those. Please be brave. You'll not be disappointed by coming up and getting people to stand with you in prayer. And so as we go, I just bless you. I bless you to know the Lord God Almighty. I bless you to know that he is worthy of being called your God and King. I bless you to dwell in his house. I bless you to hunger for and be greedy for his presence. I bless you to know that his strength is yours. I bless you to trust in him with all your heart and put the full weight of your life and your whatever else upon him. I bless you to know the joy that that is and how to be envied you are by doing that. You're welcome to stay and chat, have some coffee, get your kids, please come and get prayer and enjoy the sun. Okay.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.